Welcome to the Modern Woodworkers Association, a podcast about woodworking from folk who woodwork. Woodworking is what we do, who we are, and what we like to talk about. So join us as we have a drink, sit around, and talk woodworking.
Hi, and welcome to the 335th episode of the Modern Woodworkers Association podcast. I'm Kyle Barton, and I'm here with my co-hosts Sean Wisniewski and Mark Hicks. Today, we're asking David Duyard what his favorite chairs are. Actually, his five favorite chairs. To coincide with the five questions. Since David's already answered the five questions, we figured we would change things up a bit here. But before we get started, let's talk a little bit about some of the styles and influences of past and present chairs and chair makers. So David, I'll put it in your capable hands.
This is a tough set of questions. It's like God, it's like saying like which kid is your favorite, you know? it's because there's so many different styles and influences that are going on. You know, I mean, this the Windsor chairs, which are, you know, pretty unique in how they were made, and especially the American Windsor chairs. And some of them are just gorgeous, you know, and going on, and you know, your ladder backs, your posts and rungs. You know, I mean, the shakers are famous for them, but there were, you know, tons of those vernacular, I call them almost Appalachian chairs, you know, that were just, made by the farmer during the winter to get in, you know, and certainly right. Brian Boggs has leaped on that and just made beautiful contemporary versions of that stuff, you know.
Are there vernacular versions of the ladder back going to Europe like there are with the Windsors?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's the Picasso chair in Spain somebody was posting about that recently.
Yeah. Yeah. And even when Windsors were being made, they were making ladder backs all over the place too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why the Windsors became popular. I think because they were able to mass produce them pretty quick and people were able to afford them. They were kind of a common man's chair, you know, versus the kind of the Chippendale style of the high society chairs that were, and the upholstered stuff that was being made at the time. And in fact, I read an article where some of the merchants would actually have their pictures, their portraits done in a Windsor chair specifically so that they would seem more like they're a commoner than they were a wealthy merchant. Yeah, it was really, really interesting. It was done, done by the Fine Arts Museum in Boston. And they did a whole thing and they had a whole series of these old guys in their portraits and they're all on Windsor chairs. And a lot of times they said, you know, they did it because they wanted to, you know, make it look like they were part of the common folk and not part of the British aristocracy that was around. It was a pretty interesting article. Yeah.
As they sat for their expensive hand-painted portrait.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and it was reported that Philadelphia alone was exporting something like 10,000 chairs a year. Windsors.
Oh my gosh.
Like just thousands and thousands of these things, you know. And of course, you know, we had the forest and the lumber to be able to make all that stuff, you know, but Connecticut has a huge rich history of making Windsors. Up and down, most towns had some kind of chair maker and they're making chairs, you know. So it was pretty interesting, you know, and you kind of look through the history and some of the people that have then taken that, you know, and run with it, you know, from the arts and crafts movement, you know, the William Morris and the Gibson and stuff. And they made, you know, the post and rung, a ladder back style chair, which are really, really nice. And the arts and crafts movement did some pretty nice stuff as well. So this is a really tough thing. And I think I've actually got it down to six chairs that I can talk about. I was having a hard time with five.
Yeah, I think we got a special mention in there. But
So
who of past and present chair makers, who's influenced you, I guess I would say?
Well, you know, in the past, you look at, you know, there's not a lot of names that are associated with Windsor chair making, right? They're all kind of lost. E.B. Tracy, though, was a big chair maker in Connecticut. And produce a ton of stuff, you know. And I said my latest high back sack back was based off of one of his chairs. And you know, so it's hard to find names associated with some of those guys. But you know, some of the more modern guys, I mean, you can pick them up. You know, McIntosh, you know, big person in the arts and crafts movement. You know, Scottish designer, tons of, you know, the, you see people building stuff. A lot of the stuff that Mike Pekovich builds is in that style, as well as, you know, Dan Pert and stuff. And I loved it. And I, my first chairs I built, you know, kind of emulating some of the Macintosh stuff.
He's got some beautiful stuff, especially some of that casework is just outstanding.
Just outstanding stuff. And he would just design whole buildings, including all the content, you know. And I was lucky enough to be in Glasgow and be able to go into some of the stuff that he designed and built. And it's just gorgeous stuff.
Yeah, I think there, I saw something, I don't know if it was Scotland or England, but there was some restaurant that had been in business for like over 100 years.
Yeah, Russian Tea Room.
I think it might have been that they were closing down, but everything was Macintosh in that place.
So he was big, you know. And then you get into some of the, you know, you start coming into some of this kind of Danish modern movement, you know, Wegener, you know, and certainly Sam Maloof, you know, building some of the stuff. You mean, his rocker is an iconic rocker.
Yeah.
You know, that goes in and everybody tries to emulate, you know, some of that stuff that, but them, you know, and of course, Nakashima, you know, soul of a tree, you know, he built some pretty iconic, stuff as well, you know. So you look at all this stuff and it's like, well, I like this from this chair and this from this era and this from this style, and you kind of put them all together and you say, you know, and hopefully you come up with something that's not too construed, you know. So there's a ton of you know, and even today there's some chair makers that are coming out and making some pretty nice stuff. We can talk about them, you know. But I think, you know, one of my favorite chairs, there's a curator at Winterthur Museum down in Delaware, Janet Coyne Evans, and she wrote 3 books on Windsor chairs. You know, and the primary book, you know, if you're a Windsor chair maker, is I want to say it's almost 3 inches thick.
Yeah.
And it's all the styles broken down by region and who made them and all the names. Then she has another book on just the kind of odd styles that were going on, whether settees or, you know, commode chairs or, you know, cradles and stuff like that. And then she has a book just on the business of Windsor chair making at the time. So going through all the old records and, you know, how they produce things and, you know, some of their inventories and stuff like that, was pretty interesting. But on the cover of her main book, there's a Nantucket fan back, right? Mm-hmm. So it's attributed to being made on the island of Nantucket, southeast coast of Massachusetts. It's a big fan back.
Yeah.
And it leans way, way back. And
yeah, it's got those extra support.
It's got the
back of the seat. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got the extra back of the seat, and it's a big seat, and it leans way back. So maybe you're at, you know, your standard dining chairs, you know, anywhere from 8 to 12 or 14 degrees. This is like 19 or 20. It leans way back. And I kind of call it the Barco lounger of yesteryear. You know, it was meant for the living room to be able to sit way back and relax, and it's wide. Yeah. And, the example of that on the cover of her book is just gorgeous.
Yeah.
And
you made one similar to this recently.
Yeah, you just made one, didn't you?
Yeah. I've probably made about a dozen of them.
Okay.
And over the years.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful chair. A lot of them I finished the way it looks like in there, with multicolors paints. And, you know, Dan Feyas at a North Bennett Street School published an article maybe 15 or 20 years ago on how to do that in fine woodworking. And it's a wonderful finish. But I've made a lot of those, and they're big comfy chairs, and they're meant for a living room, you know, not meant for a dining room at all. And that's always been a favorite chair of mine to make.
And those back posts are just extraordinary. And especially that, that joint with the arm back there on the back.
Well, the arm coming in. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, there's a couple ways of doing that.
Cause that's a square joint, right? It's, well, I mean,
a square joint at an angle.
Yeah. Square joint at an angle. Yeah.
Yeah. And each flange on the arm is a different angle, because your post doesn't go back at, you know, in a perpendicular plane from the seat. They're bent out.
Right.
So if you want to keep your arms fairly level, your post comes through that at a diagonal. if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Right?
Your right? mortise is at a diagonal, to get that right. Yeah.
Yeah. I had been making those without a mortise. It's just the arm goes into the post, and the original ones got screwed or nailed in. They actually had the old rose head nails. They would just nail it on there. And I used to put in screws and plug them. I'm trying to figure out a way, if there's an easy way to keep that kind of look of that arm being so big as it joins there and get it mortised in there, but I haven't figured out how to do that yet. So on the docket, you know, as we go to build them, you know,
well, I think,
yeah, it's a fun chair. Yeah. And I just posted one that I actually built the chair, you know, a little while ago, but never published it. And it's a nice chair. I think way back in my feet, I have another one that I, that's green that I made when I went up to a customer up in New Hampshire. It's a nice chair, and it's pretty unique. So from my number two, there's, we talked about Charles Rennie Mackintosh, right? From that Scottish guy,
right?
Architect, designer, you know, really influential in the arts and crafts movement in the beginning of it. And, they must have been big at the age, you know, tea houses at the time, right? Where you can go in and it's probably like a coffee house, restaurant, bistro kind of place now. And he did a couple of them, Russian tea room, and the Willow tea room.
Yeah, we were just talking about,
And the Willow tea room chair is pretty neat, but the chair looks incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah. The thing I can't remember, I can't believe I couldn't remember the Russian tea room, but the some video or something I saw on it. Yeah, the chair looked nice, but it did not look comfortable. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a, you know, pure vertical back.
Yeah.
You know, but he's using the nice woods. He's got a big pad up on top so you can lean your head up against it, you know, even though. But again, I suppose, you know, it's like, hey, we don't need our customers to stay in here too long. We just want them to have a cup of tea and go kind of thing.
Yeah, turn those tables.
And but from a design perspective, the elements he puts in, you know, the, you know, big, bold things and delicate things and kind of makes it a nice looking chair.
Yeah.
So how do you work details from a chair like that into the work that you do now?
Yeah, I'm looking at, you know, how does those back posts taper from the seat going up? You know, are they big tapers? Is it nice fairing? Is it a curved taper? Is it tapered at all? And if it doesn't taper, how does it look? You know, does it make it look too blocky, unproportioned? You know, you can look at the chairs and say, well, the proportions on that are pretty sweet. Right. So his chairs are essentially broken down in thirds, where most chairs are broken down in fifths.
Okay.
So, right. So is the back is two thirds and from the seat lower is one third.
Right. It's a very high back.
It's a very high back.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a very, very high back. Yeah. And so I'm looking at it from a design perspective, from proportions and, you know, looking at it from proportions and, you know, movement of the chair. I said it looks uncomfortable because it's so damn upright. But, you know, the chair is pretty bold, you know.
Yeah.
I guess as is the rest of Mackintosh's work, you know, and kind of reflects some of these designers, you know, it's reflected in the chairs that they build.
Yeah. And it's. In almost this piece, you can see how some Art Deco came out of this. I mean,
he's right in that movement. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right in that movement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a interesting chair. Yeah. Like you said, it's probably not uncomfortable. It's probably not very comfortable, but boy, just the construction of that chair, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely something that has to be in a production type environment because, whoa. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know, you know, at the times, you know, I mean, those pretty old chairs. I don't know at the time what they, you know, I mean, they did have power saws and stuff like that, but you know, I don't know if they chopped all those mortises by hand or what they did, you know, but and you look at pictures of some of the rooms, you know, and there's 20 chairs identical.
Yeah.
You know, to them all at the same.
Yeah. I definitely had to come up with something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So moving on.
Moving on. So I have my number three as and I don't know if these are the same chair or they're just too closely related, but there's the Morris chair and the Sussex chair. So they're, again, early arts and crafts, but these are post and rung chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But they're very light and very delicate. And they move. So unlike a shaker chair, which is kind of blocky and very upright, these have curved parts. And the arm posts curve out. The rungs on the side of the chair curve. It has a rush seat, you know, which is, you know, kind of much more you see in the more the vernacular chairs.
Yeah.
You know, the back posts curve back a little bit. The arms are curved a little bit. And it's very, it looks very delicate, like you're going to sit in it and break it. But it's really not. And there were a bunch of guys that were making along that style at the time. And they're being carried on right now. And you can find them on Instagram. They're replicating all the chairs that were made by these guys, by Gimson, Lawrence Neal and the Marchmont Workshop. You can find them on Instagram and they're actually going out and harvesting the reeds every year. They harvest enough for the whole year. So these are hand woven cattail reed seats. So it's pretty wild. You know, it's like, I mean, when I'm doing a rush seat, I'm buying pre-twisted seagrass, right? out of Asia. These guys are actually winding it. But it's a really delicate looking chair. It kind of reminds me of some of the Italian chairs, you know, they're being made now, the Chivaris and things. You know, they're so light and the parts are so small. And so, you know, it makes it look very, very delicate, but
yeah,
they're strong.
Yeah, I can definitely see a lineage between that and some of the Italian chairs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. This progression of the slats in the back of that one kind of catches my eye.
It does, doesn't it?
On the Gimson chair. That's the thing that really, I mean, you know, this definitely has a really light look to it, but I love the way those slats, they get wider and thicker. And that's a really, really nice design.
Yeah. There's a ton of detail in that chair too, that you really got to look at it to see.
Yeah.
You know, that they put in this little groove here or this there. Like I said, they widen the slats up. Proportionally, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Like right under the arms where it joins those front leg posts.
It's really thin.
Looks like a little, there's a little ball there. Turned in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just imagine this, sitting on it, that it would like kind of creak into form under your weight.
Yeah. Mold around you a little bit, you know.
A little bit.
I found some plans for one. I want to build one. I just, you know, it's on the list. But it always amazed me that you can make those things so light and delicate and do it, you know. And I've got my my number four, you know, kind of a modern Windsor chair maker is Bern Chanley's low back armchair. And I don't know what he calls it. I think he's got a number to it or something. But it was on the back cover of Fine Woodworking, and I couldn't find my issue that had it on there. And he taught this chair at Pete Galbert's school a couple of years ago.
You know, he did. He did. It's his classic one. It's, I think he calls it his Australian Windsor chair.
Took the stretcher. He moved it up high. He put in a crinoline stretcher, which is a curved piece going from the front legs that the back legs can hook into in a crinoline. Mm-hmm. And that arm bow, you know, doesn't really connect to the seat. It's just held up by the spindles. And,
right.
It's actually a pretty comfortable chair. I sat in one when I went and visited him a bunch of years back, and he was working on it. But they're nice, and he's just all burned stuff is just has that very precise, very very, very clean look.
Yeah, and he bends a lot of kiln dried wood too. So
it's all kiln dried. Yeah, it's all kiln dried.
It's all kiln dried.
Yeah, they can't get you know, I make it over to Australia pretty regularly. My wife's Australian. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we go over there. So we've been able to meet Bern and visit his shop a few times. And, you know, and we talk about bending wood. And he's buying ash, you know, that's been kiln dried and shipped across the ocean.
Mm.
You know, and he soaks it for a few days and then bends it. But he's, you know, he's like using a boat winch and heavy stainless straps and things.
Right.
But it bends, you know, and he's,
yeah,
and every single bend comes out the same, you know. So it's, you can bend cone dried wood without a problem.
Yeah.
You know, anybody have shown that, that's him.
Yeah. His designs are just outstanding. I mean, you know, all the stuff he does, it's fantastic. And I'm jealous that you actually have been to a shop and met him. So yeah.
Yeah, the world of Instagram, you know, it's
exactly.
You go there and it's just like, well, what am I gonna do? I wanna meet this guy, you know, and you DM him and it's just like, yeah, come on in, you know. Uh-huh. He took a train. His original shop was literally right off the train.
Yeah.
Oh, walked across the street and you're in the shop, you know, and the nicest guy in the world too. So just wonderful. But I love his chair and it's on the back cover of Fine Woodworking.
Yeah.
I'll have to dig up what number that
was. I'm not sure if it's the 14.
It could be.
The 14 is similar, but I don't know. Yeah. He may have changed the details.
Yeah, he has a bunch of them that are similar, but all of them look. I'll have to do some more digging and find out which one that is. Mm-hmm. You know. And
I don't know what number it is. I was on his site, and I think it's the November December of 2017.
Yeah, it's
that sounds about right. Yeah,
the low back diner.
Low back diner. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's where the back rail is completely suspended. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that one may be the one that goes down, that points down. I don't know.
No. Yeah. I mean, anybody, go look at Bernd Chanley's site. Great designs.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, and he's got a great Instagram feed because he shows a lot of stuff on how he does stuff.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, very
does.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. So he's a ton of kind of how-to content that's on his IG feed. It's pretty nice.
Yeah. I usually hit the little save on almost all of his posts. So something to learn there.
Definitely. Yep. Yep. And he's doing
so what's your fifth favorite chair?
So I'm moving on with you know, another current guy, Brian Boggs, you know, although this is an old chair of his. You know, yeah, so it's,
I don't think
it's,
he's making this anymore, is he?
He doesn't make it anymore. Yeah. Nope. He doesn't make them anymore and he's kind of released the plans. But his Berea armchair, and it's mm-hmm. it's really an evolution of the ladder backs that he started building in when he was in Berea, Kentucky. And it kind of moved into this very curvy, you know, very contemporary looking post mm-hmm. and rung ladder back chair, mm-hmm. you know, and there's actually four of them in the series. There's two side chairs, an armchair and a rocker. And they're all very, very well proportioned, very well, you know, very, very comfortable to sit in, you know, big, bold curves in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're bending those legs. You're creating a good size bend in some pretty thick timbers.
Yeah.
You know, where you look at that Morisha Sussex chair we looked at, you know, I think the thickness on those legs are like an inch and an eighth or something. And Brian's are 1 5/8.
Wow.
Oh, right? Yeah. It's huge difference.
Yeah.
You know, in the thickness of those things, but it works beautifully, you know, and the proportions are beautiful. And it's, there's a lot of iterations to get to this, but it's locked down. It's the, it's the chair that I teach. It's the chair that Jeff teaches. We have them in our house. We use them almost daily. They're very, very comfortable. You know, so.
Yeah, I remember when I was a beginning woodworker and I was looking at Fine Woodworking and had a picture of him standing next to one of these chairs, but it was an ebonized one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, I want that chair.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember I had a chance. I was in Berea 8 some years ago and I walked into his shop and I was like, oh man, like all this stuff is just, it's beautiful. I mean,
yeah.
that way, like we talked about before, the way that the back straps like gradiated as they went up, they got thicker, they got longer, whatever.
Yep.
And he does the same thing. It splays out as the higher it goes and those things just kind of grow with it organically. And it's just visually, it just catches you. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's very, very catchy. Mm-hmm. And and it's very, very catchy. Very, very well done. And I've made them in all kinds of woods now, cherry and ash and walnut mm-hmm. and oak. And I've ebonized some oak ones. They look really, really nice, you know. And so it's all good.
Do you know why he stopped making those? I mean, I know, you know, he's moved on to other designs.
He's moved on to other designs. I think it's, you know, a big desire to move on to other designs. And, you know, I think it's probably expanded his clientele quite a bit. But I think a lot of it is, I'm done with that design. I need to push it. I need to push the boundaries a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And he's certainly done that, you know, his Lace Clio series and Yeah. You can see elements of the Danish modern mixed in with the, you know, Appalachian vernacular, you know, kind of melded really quite nicely. And I know he's brought in some new laminate technologies to work on that seat and stuff too, to make it light and light and airy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll have to see what comes out of his latest designs, and maybe that's a new favorite in a few years of yours.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. Yeah. So, special mention chair, I put this as. So what's your current favorite?
Well, you know, I've got a, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Michael Pruyere.
No.
So a black furniture maker, was based out of the city. I think he's living upstate now, and he has what's called the Barrow chair, and you have to look him up online. He's not on Instagram, and, it's a very modern, leather type chair, leans back. I don't even know if it's just a contemporary looking chair, and it's leather, you know, it's more of it's an upholstered chair versus, you know, what I'm building, which is, you know, the wood frame chairs. And, I got a chance to meet him many, many years ago and sit in this chair, and it's like, I need one of these chairs. I just don't know if I can afford it. You know, and I think he's still producing. He teaches. I know he goes out to Mark Adams and teaches. And I don't know if he's where else he does, but
what was his name again?
Michael Pruyere, Pruyear. He's got to be really, really close to retirement. Like he's got to be in his 70s now.
Oh.
You know, one of these designers that just does beautiful, beautiful stuff that you never ever hear of.
Yeah, I know. There are so many of them out there. Okay, yeah. I am on
Lost
the
Art Press did
an interview with him, right?
An Acorn about him. I guess it was probably Nancy that did
it.
But
okay. Yeah, I see the chair now. Ooh,
yeah.
Man, that is it's a upholstered chair, but yeah, that is nice. Wow.
Yeah.
The stance of that, it's aggressive.
The stance is incredible. Yep.
Yeah. But it also looks comfy.
It is comfy. I sat in one.
Oh, man.
He was showing at the fine furniture show in Providence, Rhode Island. Oh, and I want to say it's probably 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
When I saw him there. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, some beautiful stuff. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that one's bookmarked. All right, so folks out there, you need to go check that out. And he has some beautiful work, not only chairs, but his casework is phenomenal too. And oh, this bench he has, this leather bench, is just fabulous.
Yeah.
If you go on the Lost Art Press blog and search "An Integrated Life," you'll find it, and then you can link to his stuff from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or just go to our show notes. I'm sure Kyle will put the link in there.
Of course.
Yeah.
And someday I'll actually post the show notes. It's on our to-do list. And that's going to be there soon. We might have a big announcement coming up soon. So anyway.
Ooh, dangle that carrot.
Right. That's right. So, that's a fabulous chair. Absolutely fabulous. I'm still stunned just looking at it.
Yeah.
But, it is great. So, did you want to mention your high back sack back?
No. That is one of my new favorites. Yeah. So it is one of my new favorites, and surprisingly very, very comfortable. And apparently a few were made. One was made by this guy, E.B. Tracy, down in Rhode Island. And apparently they made them so that people could nap in them.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Yes. So as is mentioned in, Janet Coyne-Evans' book, is apparently they made them so that they could, you know, nap in them. And apparently they're called sack backs. So you could put a sack over it and it would keep the drafts away from you, you know, while you're in these 1700s houses, which, you know, were drafty. And, but there weren't very many made from what they can tell, but there's a couple makers that had them. So it looks like they were probably special orders or something. But it changes the whole look of the chair, you know, from the standard sack back to a high sack back. And mm-hmm. And it's comfy because you can lean lean all the way back now and have something to rest your head against.
I'm leaning back in a modern, you know.
Well, no, I'm actually leaning back in a sack back, and I'm just trying to imagine that. So yeah.
Yeah, so it's not that much higher, but it's high enough.
High enough, yeah.
Yeah, just enough to catch just the base of your head or something if you lean back a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it makes the chair look lighter, you know, because it's a little bit taller and the spindles draws it up. Yeah, it's drawn it up, you know. So proportionally, it's you added another segment, essentially what you did. And I have my latest that I built this past summer when I had some time. Excuse me.
I don't see how you have any time now. So
yeah, it's going to be interesting to try to get some new stuff out, but it'll work.
It'll work. Yes. Well, speaking of the hardest working man in chair making, so where can they find you should they wish to look at some of your work?
Yep. So the my website, which has not been updated in a very long time, is daviddouyardchairmaker.com. It's D-O-U-Y-A-R-D. And then on Instagram, I am ddouyardchairmaker.
All right. Mark, what about you?
I am at plate11.com, at Mark Builds It on Instagram, and plate11 Woodworking on YouTube. Sean, where can we find you?
Yes, because I'm a pure hobbyist and don't have any business to promote. I'm just SeanW78 on wherever you can find me. Kyle, how about you?
As a former hobbyist, you can always find me at Barton.Kyle on Instagram or my YouTube channel, Kyle Barton. And with that, that just about wraps it up for this show. So if you haven't already, please subscribe to the show on the podcatcher of your choice. Just search for the Modern Woodworkers Association. And while you're there, please leave us a review.
Thanks for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at MWA_podcast. But the best thing you can do is tell a friend about us and spread that word of mouth to share our discussion.